Good morning.
This is Paul Bogish, and welcome to, I believe it is now, episode number 7 of Turkey Crossing. This episode, hopefully, will actually be under 20 minutes and focused. I'll see what I can do. Last night, I was going through my feeds and some of the other podcasts I subscribe to, and I came upon one from Kevin Honeycutt. And one of the things that is different about his is that, one, he does the podcast while he drives to school or work or drives somewhere. And I know there's other people that do that. The other thing he does, and I hope anyone listening to this has a good sense of humor, this is just, I hope Kevin has a good sense of humor, but he films himself as he drives doing his podcast. And, you know, as I'm listening to all these podcasts out there, one thing I notice is that I very rarely hear anybody with any kind of sense of humor or, well, I'm going to take that back. That's not what I mean. I very rarely hear people cracking jokes, or I very rarely hear people that, I don't know, are using anything other than a very serious tone of voice. And sometimes it upsets me a little. I know that for some reason, even when I do these podcasts in my initial stage of experimenting with them, that for some reason, as soon as the record button is hit, I just get serious. And my normal teaching persona is somehow put away, and all of a sudden, I don't know, that my tone of voice goes flat, and I don't know. Anyway, that's not where I'm going with this. So Kevin does his podcast from his car. And what cracks me up, and I don't think he intends this to be funny, but he films himself from the front seat. And so when I originally found them, and I wanted to listen to them on the way to work, I couldn't, because all I have is the iPod that just does the audio. So when I listen to him at home, I actually have to watch him talking to me, which I think is kind of cool. But anyway, I don't know whether it was on his latest one, and again, if you're interested in finding it, I'm sure if you just type in Kevin Honeycutt, and I believe they're called Driving Questions. If you type that into Google, you'll find them. His latest one is kind of really interesting, I thought. He asked 4 questions, and he asked people to respond to them, and he's going to cut and paste all of the responses together, or at least some of them. So, he asked 4 questions. The first question interested me right off the bat because I'll often think about it. He asked a simple question, and the question was, if you can just do one thing change schools or to change the American education system, I don't know how he worded it, what would you do? And to me, the answer popped right into my head. I've thought about this often, and it's a very simple answer, and please don't press stop after you hear the answer. I'm not going to go into a full explanation, but it would require such a, what's the word, paradigm shift, I suppose, in their thinking, that some people will immediately see it as, or hear it, and when they hear it, they'll think this is crazy, but I would get rid of all curriculum. I would just banish it. When you go to school, you have to learn this at this age. If you don't learn this at this age, you're a failure. You have to learn this topic in this grade, and you can't learn anything outside of that topic. You have to read this book. You can't read this book, you know, book B, because book B, geez, might be bad for you in some way. or, you know, every single kid in the class has to be working on this assignment, and if you don't do these 10 units by the end of the year in science, well, oh my gosh, you're not going to be ready for the next level. I would banish all curriculum. And this really, I was just listening something on the radio where a lady came on and talking about some educational consultant business in California where, you know, every kid had to learn 25 things by the end of the month or by a certain age. Everybody had to have the same knowledge, and it's just absolutely insane. I teach 8th grade social studies. Curriculum is officially 19th century. And it drives me crazy when I get a kid who comes in the beginning of the year and says, are we going to study the space exploration program? We're going to study how they go into the moon. And I have to say, no. No, I'm sorry, it's illegal for us to study that in this class. I can try my best to connect it to some current topic that we're supposed to be doing from the 19th century, but no, you're not allowed to. You know, a kid comes in and says, I want to study the Vietnam War. Sorry, kid. Only, we can do the Mexican-American War, but you can't study the Vietnam War. And on and on and on. You know, whether it's an L.A. class and a kid comes in and says, I want to read this book instead of whatever the teacher is proposing. And the teacher kind of has to say, no, I mean, you can read that on the side, but you have to read this one because this is the 8th grade novel that we all read. You know, it drives me crazy that a kid is supposed to be able to read by a certain age, and if they're not, they're declared a failure. And, I think drives the curiosity out of a kid. It ultimately destroys creativity and love of learning. And again, I think some people think that would be dangerous because kids would not learn something they're supposed to learn. And frankly, you know, I was talking to my kids the other day. As a teacher, I would much rather get a kid into my class who just simply has a love for learning or is curious about learning more about the Civil War than a kid who already knows all the facts about the Civil War, but as soon as I mention it, automatically says, I don't want to do this. And, you know, there are plenty of kids out there. People that have talked to me, I'm probably seriously about this or sick about me bringing this up, but there are plenty of kids out there who do study without curriculum. And it's a branch of homeschooling called unschooling, and, you know, there's no formal education. Nobody ever sits them down and says, here's how to read, here's how to do math, here's how to do history. And somehow, miraculously, they end up knowing it all. They might not know it at the same time. You know, you might have a kid who doesn't read for the first 10 years of their life, and all of a sudden at age 10, they're like, all right, I need to read in order to be able to do this. And, you know, within a few months, they've learned all they needed to do to read. And you might have a kid who just doesn't do any math for the first 9 years of his life or her life, and all of a sudden finds himself in a place where they need a certain math skill, and within a month or so, they have acquired all of the skills that a normal kid in school of their age would have. And again, it seems radical if you don't know any of these kids, if you haven't experienced it firsthand, but it works. And what you end up with is a kid who is deeply curious. They've controlled all their own learning. They've had the freedom to make their own decisions and to have responsibility for their growth. And the imagination, the creativity is just fabulous. And, you know, even in the very last research paper that I did with my kids, which I question whether or not to even put on here, in case someone from the school is listening, but one of the things that I do is I allow them to pick whatever topic they want. The last 2 weeks of school, I'm focusing more on the research skills, drawing that conclusion, creating that essential question, backing up their answer. Sorry if there's a little jump in the recording. I accidentally pressed the wrong button here. But what I find when they totally are able to have complete freedom and pick their own topic, the papers they produce are fantastic. I tell them that I just tell them every year that I'm so impressed with their writing. And you know, and these are kids who are under pressure to score high on the CMTs, the Connecticut Mastery Test. In 2 years, they're taking the test sophomore year of high school, the CAP test, and in order to graduate from high school, they have to pass the CAP test. And the CAP test, in one part, is nothing more than a collection of documents. They get asked a question. They have to take a look at the documents, look at the both point of views, and then basically come up with an answer, which is kind of like what they're doing for their research report. And I told them, I was speaking to a couple classes yesterday on this, and I said, the papers that you wrote this year as eighth graders would be considered passing CAP scores. And their writing on these papers are so much better than what we did when I was in eighth grade. And they're just absolutely fantastic. And I just think it really shows the power of when you let kids have some freedom and choice. They do work hard. You know, I think the misconception is that if you let kids do whatever the heck they want, they're going to just do nothing. And the opposite is true. When you allow them to choose something that's really going to engage them, you know, they'll go nuts with it. It's kind of what I talked about in my last podcast, you know, and some girls that took over a class for a day and weren't told what to do. They chose every part of the activity and the topic, and it was fantastic. And again, you let the kids choose and do some incredible stuff. And obviously, to fit into our curriculum, the end product in my class was a research paper, but he didn't hear anybody complain. Well, all right, maybe there's a few kids in the beginning, but once they got into it, nobody complained about the length. Nobody complained about typing it all out. And, you know, so many kids, in their own way, kind of said that, boy, they really learned a lot, and it was really interesting. And, you know, even the kids who, they all had to just simply, after they wrote their paper, they had to get up in front of the class and just do a short presentation. You know, I thought it was funny, too, how some kids got up there to talk about these, what everybody else in the world would consider an incredibly boring topic, but, you know, they were so interested in it. And, you know, most of these topics, kids would never, ever have the chance to research in a classroom. So there you go, Kevin. I hope you enjoyed my long-winded response. Probably much too long for your normal podcast. And boy, I don't know what to do about that. Maybe, I don't know if you want to cut and paste, or feel free to hack it apart in whatever way you'd like to. Or, of course, if I'm the only one that responded, maybe give me the starring role and give me the whole 10 minutes or however long I talked. But I really appreciate you asking those questions. And to everyone else that's out there listening, again, this podcast started by me listening to Kevin Honeycutt's Driving Questions podcast. And I'd like to thank you for listening to my long-winded answer. This is Paul Bogish. The podcast is Turkey Crossing on Podomatic. And I appreciate you listening. And if you've made it this far to the end, please leave me a comment on my podcast page. Again, it's turkeycrossing@podomatic.com. Thanks. And today is our 8th grade outing. Our graduating class is going out for their class picnic. And we are a mere week and a half away from finishing school. Only, what do we have left? 4, 5, 6 days left of school. So that's pretty exciting. Awards night is tonight. And I don't know if I'm exactly looking forward to starting the summer. I have so much work lined up that I have to get done. It's not exactly a relaxing summer this year, but I'll squeeze in a few more podcasts. I think the practice is doing me good. By the time next year rolls along, I think maybe each one would be shorter for one, hopefully. Have a very tight focus and be right to the point instead of meandering around and going from thought to thought and eventually ending 20 minutes later. So thanks for listening. This is Paul Bogish, and I'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.